It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 28, and we're going to begin reading with verse 15. So if you have the opportunity to open your Bibles to that book, chapter, and verse, I would love for you to follow along with me verse by verse as we study this area of Scripture. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles so that we can prepare for the reading today. Exodus chapter 28, verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and of fine twined linen. Thou shalt make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and the span shall be the breadth thereof. Thou shalt set in the settings of the stones, even four rows of stones. And the first row shall be a sardis, and a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst, and the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of the wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold. Thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And the two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, towards the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. They shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof, upon the rings of the ephod, with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in upon unto the holy place for memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. Thou shalt be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof, and it shall have a binding of woven work around about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that is, it be not rent. Beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make the pomegranates of blue and purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, and a golden bell and a pomegranate, and a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre, it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. It shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt put the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shall thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with them, and thou shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach, and they shall be unto Aaron and unto his upon his sons. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place. They shall bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute for ever unto him, his seed after, and his seed after him. That's to the end of the chapter. Now let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come. We have read many verses of Scripture today. Now help us to look, because the position of the high priest is the same position that your dear Son, the Lord Jesus, is. This is just a picture of what's to come in the Lord Jesus. So please, that you will help us to see today, help me to teach properly, that all that are listening will hear, will know that the words are coming from you and not from me, dear Lord. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts, this program is of nothing. It has to come from you. I have to be used by you. The Holy Spirit has to speak to me, and I pray through me that you will hear from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God the Father. You will hear the words that he wants you to hear. And so please today that be the case, that not only am I speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit, but also that you're hearing, you have ears to hear the power of the Holy Spirit. So please today, saved, listen and grow. Lost, get saved. Come by faith to the cross of Calvary. Oh, dear Father, today I pray that this be the changes of the heart today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure glad that you've joined us today, and we continue this study. And you know, as we read through this, and some of it doesn't make a lot of sense to us in the manner of this garment, this garb that Aaron has and Aaron's sons have. But we're going to just take a few minutes and look at some very wonderful points. I don't not read areas of Scripture. You know that by now. The longer you've been on this with this study with us, why, you know that I maybe stumble through some words sometimes, but I do read each word, and I try to pronounce it properly and correctly. But we're looking at the breastplate. We have looked at the ephod, and then now we're looking at the breastplate. The breastplate seems to be made much like the ephod. The ephod, if you'll remember, had the 12 tribes engraved on the shoulders. This was kind of a clasp that held everything together, and upon there was engraved six on one shoulder and six on the other shoulder. You see, the Lord Jesus will definitely bear us, and there is no one left out. And so all the 12 tribes of Israel were carried into the presence of the Lord up on his shoulders. Then we come to the breastplate, and we find that not only does he bear us up and support us, but he also loves us, because we find that the breastplate, that is covering his heart, and it stands for love. And so what a wonderful opportunity that we have as we look at these two. We first have the ephod, and we looked at that this last week and the week before. It stands for a garment of service. But now the breastplate is of judgment. And the breastplate of judgment was an emblem of honor, it was said, and the two must never separate. And so as we look at that, and then we read through the 15th down through the 20th verse, and we looked at all the different beautiful stones that are there, and it's just beautiful. You know, last time we were together, why we took just a little bit of time to look at what some of them I don't know, but many of them we kind of knew what they look like, their value and things like that. And it went from sardis to topaz to the carbuncle, emerald, sapphire, diamond, ligure, agate, amethyst, beryl, onyx, and jasper. And so as we looked at all those and enjoyed the look at them, we find that this breastplate now is a kind of a vest affair. It is a vest that goes over the other garment. The breastplate of judgment. You know, the only way that we can stand in the presence of God is if our sin is judged. It has to be judged, and it has to be taken care of. And because of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary, we now have a breastplate of righteousness, not a breastplate of judgment. But until our sins are dealt with, and as he would carry them in love before God the Father, it is a wonderful picture of what our High Priest, the Lord Jesus, does for us today. Because, you see, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father right now, making intercession for us. The ephod and the breastplate very much went together. And so we have read a couple of times now the looks of the breastplate, different than the ephod. The ephod, the 12 names were up on the shoulders, six on each. The breastplate, they were listed individually. And as we looked at those, the lines, it says, thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, fine twined linen, thou shalt make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stone, four rows of stones, and then it gives four rows, so three in each row, and that accounts for the 12 tribes. And then it talks about how that it's attached, but each tribe, the important thing to see is that each tribe is listed. No one is left out. You know, if they're poor, it doesn't matter. If they're rich, it doesn't matter. If they're unlearned, it doesn't matter. If they're educated, it doesn't matter. Because, you see, all can come before the presence of the Lord, and it's all through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at all the way it's kind of tied together and bound together. And the thing that we're going to jump clear down to here is verse 29. And it says, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in into the holy place for memorial before the Lord continually. He is going to, as he proceeds in to the holy place, and then on to the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, But upon the regular days, we find the garment that Aaron is to wear. And this garment is designed of the Lord. It's what he is supposed to put on and wear. And each part represents something. And in the case of the shoulder pads and the breastplate, it is the children of Israel. He loves the children of Israel. He died for the children of Israel. He died for all Gentiles. He died for everybody. All we need to do is come by faith. And that's what these people needed to have. When they would bring their offerings and their sacrifices in, they would have to come and they would have to be doing it with a means of knowing that this stood for something that was going to come later. And so if they brought the sacrifice and it was a sin offering or whatever the offering might have been, why, it was for fellowship and for the forgiveness of sins. And they had to do it many times. They just couldn't come just once like we do because the Lord Jesus had not completed that work. But they were saved the same way. It was by faith and by faith alone. And you see, that's the way that our Savior comes and saves us, is by faith. And so please today that you look to the cross of Calvary where Jesus suffered and died and shed his blood, that you and I can be saved. Please don't miss that today. Don't hang on to some old religious act that you have for years, because that act won't save you. And being good is not going to save you. And straightening up your life is not going to save you. You know, a lot of people do that. A lot of people say, well, when I get things worked out, then I'll be to church. Well, you come to church and we'll get it worked out, but the first thing that you need to do is get saved. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ, and then you have the power to work it out. You know, prior to that time, it's a losing cause. I'll tell you right now, you just as well give up if you're not going to come to the cross first. There's no reason for you to waste your time to clean your life up if Jesus Christ is not going to be a part of it. So please today trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And so as we come and all this is bound together and held together, and again, the two are never to be separated, and it does show as we look at this beautiful, beautiful picture of the garment of service, and then the honor, the emblem of honor, as it speaks there. No matter how small or how poor, God is holding them, and they are so precious to him. And so please don't miss the opportunity to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come now to verse 30, and we're looking at the Urim and Thummim, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. And when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. You know, we're not told an awful lot. There's much study about the Urim and Thummim. A lot of people have written things about it. But the only thing you can find out is that they really don't know much about it. We don't know what it looked like. Some people feel like it's like a set of dice or it's possibly that it's different colors, and if two, you know, white on one side, black on the other side, something like that. There's a lot of suggestions. Nobody really knows. But we do know its purpose. Its purpose was to seek the will of God. You see, we have the Word of God now. And so through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in our heart, we seek and find the will of God. But any time that a judgment was to be made, Aaron had to seek the will of God. You know, we should do the same thing. We should always seek the will of God. But Aaron in his position, and so he would need to know. And if it wasn't specific, listed in the Word of God, in what he had from the Mount of of Sinai, you know, as he received that. That's all he had. He didn't have anything else. Well, some things were in the middle of the road, and he just didn't know. So what he would do is he would ask the Lord, and then he would have an answer of yes or no with this Urim and Thummim. And so that was how he found the will of God. But that's not to be used today, not in any way, because this was for him, for the high priest. The Word of God was not complete at that time. It was still taking place. The Word of the Lord Jesus had not died on the cross yet. And so there was a purpose for it. God used it, but we're not to use it today. We're not to throw the dice, or we're not to use the Ouija board or anything like that, because that's not of God. And so please that you just go into your prayer closet seeking the will of God, because that's how that you will find and learn how to please your God, is to seek his will. Well, Aaron had this tool to use to do just that. So that's about all that we know about that. But we find that Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And so he carried these in kind of a pouch affair in the breastplate of judgment. And so it was carried in that manner. And as it was carried there, well, then we find that he would, from time to time, when it was necessary, seek the will of God by these tools. Now we get to verse 31, the robe of the ephod. Now we've got the ephod, we've got the breastplate of judgment, we've talked about the Urim and the Thummim, and now we have the robe of the ephod. Thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. You know, we've had the beautiful fine twined linen earlier, and now this is all of blue. And there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof, and it shall have a binding of woven work round about the hole of it. And so the robe of the ephod. Now, as we look at this, you know, each time we find the garments that we're looking at, and we've started with the ephod, then went to the breastplate, and each one ties to the other, and each one has a purpose. God didn't make it specific here how everything really came together, and the reason is he doesn't want us to do it. And so he had a purpose. Moses received the directions, brought it directly to Aaron, and it was made properly. It was a beautiful, beautiful garment, and it was made for the high priest and for his sons, for Aaron and his sons. And so, but the purpose, it says here, is Hebron, and I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly. But what that is a piece of armor. It's like a piece of armor, and this is supposed to be this robe of the ephod is to take that kind of place and position. And it is the word there that we have has, many of them are little tiny rings, and those rings cover the neck and the breast during war, during a battle, to protect your vital organs. And so, but it comes up around your neck. I'm sure that maybe you've even seen that type of a garment, but it is literally small little links of chain, because that way the arrows and things like that could not penetrate it, and it would cover up around your neck and down across your chest, down into your waist, and that way it would protect you, that it be not rent. And so it's not that. It says, as it were a hole of an abergon, and that it be not rent. And so this article of furniture here, the robe of the ephod, seems to take on that kind of a location, of a definition. And then here we come with the verse 33, and this is really neat, because we come and beneath upon the hem of it, shall thou make pomegranates, and of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof. Now listen to this, bells of gold between them round about. And so then it comes on in verse 34 and says, a golden bells and a pomegranate, golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And so each time that would come, while you would have the pomegranates, and then you would have the bells. And so these bells of gold between there. And so the pomegranates, they speak of the fruit. Now, I have heard people say that when they dry, that there's a seed inside that makes quite a noise. And that's part of the purpose. It was the bell and then the noise of this seed inside. I'm not sure. I do know that the pomegranates, they speaks of fruit. And then the bells speak of witness. And so when we have both of these, it's kind of like the ephod and the breastplate, never to be separated. And it's the same thing here around the robe of the ephod. Around this robe, we have this wonderful testimony of the fruit and the witness. And this is exactly what should be in our life. We should have both of those in our lives. And so as the high priest would minister for the people before God, we find that he had this position of bearing fruit, and he had this position of witness. And he was reminded of that with the pomegranates and with the bells that were in there. So you see, and the scripture says in verse 35 that he die not if it not, let me just read it here in this verse 35, and shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard. And so whether the pomegranates and the bells, or just the bells and the pomegranates speak of the fruit that we should have, shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Now that's kind of a strange thing, that he die not. Well, what it comes to, that if Aaron would decide to do something contrary to the word of God, contrary to the law that was set before him to do, tried to go into the Holy of Holies, went into the Holy of Holies without his sin confessed, went in the Holy of Holies at the wrong time, all these things would mean immediate death to him. And also even in the holy place, he was in there ministering, and you would hear the bells as he would move from place to place. And it is a place of service. There is no chairs. There's no place to sit down. You just keep moving. You just keep working. And you see, that's what we're to be doing today. Very busy with the will and the work of God. And so as we do this, while we find that this garb would do that. Now, tradition says that when he went into the Holy of Holies, there was a rope tied around his ankle, because if the sound quit, the bells stopped ringing, and maybe the pomegranates and the noise that they were making quit, then they knew that Aaron died, or the high priest died, and they couldn't enter in, and so they would have to drag him out. Now that's tradition, but we do know that the purpose of that is, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Okay, so he went in before the Lord, he went into the holy place and the holy of holies, but he came out and lived. But if he dies, we know it because the sound stops, the witness stops, the fruit bearing stops. It should never stop until we take our last breath. Well, that's exactly what would happen to the high priest if he was doing something contrary to the word of God and the will of God. Now we come to the this crown that he has. Some call it the holy crown. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Oh, what a beautiful picture there. And we're once again out of time, as always. We just kind of take a section at a time as we look through these wonderful verses of Scripture. But please don't miss all that's there, the fruit, the witness, everything, this garb, this beautiful garment that Aaron is wearing is a beautiful testimony and example of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, on the shoulders and the breastplate, he bears us up, he gives us power, and he loves us so. So please, today, look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You see, that's the only way, my friend. He died on the cross for you. Please, as the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart today, ask him to come in and save you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?